Valar Morghulis.
Valar Dohaeris.
Welcome to Southside Westeros, where we explore the world of Game of Thrones. From the Fist of the First Man to the Catacombs of the Red Keep, no secrets will be safe from us. Enter and forever be changed.
There is only one God, and his name is Death. And there is only one thing we say to Death. Not today.
Hello and welcome to the secret area of Southside Westeros. I'm D'Paul, your master whispers, and if you're here, that means that you're a patron of our show and we appreciate you. And this is a podcast that's only available to you. This will be our first of our series on the deities of the world of Westeros and beyond. And today we're going to talk about the many-faced god. Now, he is worshipped by the mysterious cult of assassins known as the Faceless Men, who are headquartered in the free city of Braavos. And they believe that through those assassinations, they do his work. Now, the Faceless Men worship death, as you can see from Cyrio Pharrell and Jaqen H'ghar. They both proclaim that there's only one God and he is death. The cult is actually a religion. It follows the belief that death is unknowingly worshipped by devotees of all religions in the world, simply under different names. Now, every religion either has a god of death or has a god with dominion over death. The Faceless Men believe that all of these gods are simply different aspects or, quote unquote, faces through which death has revealed himself to humanity. Hence, they're formally referred to their deity as the Many-Faced God. Now, there is no one symbol of the many-faced god that can be found, simply the icons used to represent death gods in other religions. The Temple of the Faceless Men that resides in Braavos, known as the House of Black and White, due to the colors of its doors, contains a large public sanctuary with statues of death gods from all of the religions displayed equally. Now, when you go to the book, you can see that the statues of the death gods from other religions in the House of Black and White and the Lion of Night and the Black God believed to simply be other faces of the one true God. But they also have the Stranger from the Faith of the Seven. There's a carved weirwood heart tree face for the old gods of the forest. There's a humanoid kind of made of driftwood, and I guess that would be representative of the drowned god. And there's a fiery heart for the Lord of Light, obviously. And there's also the black goat of Kohor and the weeping woman of Lys. And of course, as I referenced, the Lion of the Night. Now, the icons from lesser religions and cults are also honored, and I guess they want to, you know, cover their bases, or in their fashion, they're all part of the same, including that hooded wayfarer, the Bacalan, the Pale Child, the Moon Pale Maiden, and the Merlin King. There's a bunch of others in there, but it'll be redundant to kind of keep going on. The point of the matter is they want to cover all the bases because they believe that we're all the same. We're all worshiping the same thing. We're just saying it in different languages or in different ways. And I believe George, with this god in particular, now he's pulled from the Bible, from J.R. Tolkien. He's pulled from modern literature like Frankenstein and Dracula, even Star Wars and these things. So, but I think this particular one here is kind of like a let's cut to the chase kind of god. I think maybe this is his way of telling the world, hey, maybe this is what it is. Not necessarily, hey, we should all be worshiping assassins, but are we all saying the same thing, but in different ways? And is that what's keeping us apart? Maybe that's his reaching out to everyone, saying, let's open up talks again, because maybe we're not as far apart as we think. But, you know, that's just what I get from it. But the faceless men see death as a gift from the many-faced God to end your suffering, either to euthanize someone who's sick or bereaved, you know, depressed. That I found a little, you know, you're depressed, so let's just go ahead and kill you. I don't like that message there, and I thought that was one that should have been kept out of the show. But as a gift to end the lives of those who are causing suffering to others. Causing the suffering. And as a result, the assassins view themselves as death's servants. And there's a certain power that comes in that. But from everything that we see, the responsibility of that is, quote unquote, beaten into any assassin prior to them going out in the service of death. And they're strictly bound to that service. And they have to believe this. Unfallible. It has to be infallible. They feel that they are only helping to carry out death's will. It's not their own. And they cannot choose their own targets. See, that's the main thing. It must come from death, but who is conveying death's targets? Aha. Kind of like the movie Wanted, right? A little bit like Wanted. Like, you're telling me that these targets are from a greater, higher being, but are they? Or are they your targets? They do practice devotion, and they should have no desires. That's why they are no one. They have no possessions. They use Valar Morghulis. All men must die sooner or later. And Valar Dohaeris, or Dohaeris, all men must serve. These are, of course, in High Valyrian. Both of which have a deep significance in Bravosi society, because all men from Braavos use that. And if you use it towards each other, it's a great sign of respect and reverence. These faceless men have no known prayers or worship services, from what we can understand, only their actions. They just act, committing their assassinations. The only clergy are the faceless men themselves, really. Above lower ranking acolytes and novices, serving in the temple, doing the grunt work. The sanctum that is public is open to anyone who's in pain. And they're given, water to drink, which is poisoned, which grants them a gentle and painless transition. In return, their corpses and their faces are now part of the Faceless Men Society. They are magical shapeshifters. We're going to get into that in a podcast in the future, kind of going into those things. Now, the man's life was not yours to take. A girl stole that from the many-faced god. That's from Jack and Agar to Arya Stark. Now, in the books and the novels, the many-faced god is alternatively known as Him of Many Faces. Yet never the god of death, and is worshipped particularly by the faceless men, right? So you see there's a difference between the two. Him of many faces, not the god of death. So death, while it's a primary feature of the faceless men in the show, in the book, it's a means to an end. It's not worshipped, so to speak. It's very interesting. But we'll revisit this from the books aspect. Primarily, we're just going from the show. And surprised that they kind of fell off at the end. I don't know, maybe you, like me, I was waiting for that faceless man army to show up and start helping. But I guess that would be against everything because they could not fight death because they worshiped death. It was only Aya who was reminded by Melisandre that today is not today. All right, well, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Southside Westeros. We look forward to you coming back and visiting us again. If you want to email us, you can reach us at southsidewesteros@gmail.com. You can also reach us at Southside Westeros at both Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. We're SS Westeros at Cup of Coffee and Twitter. If you want to donate to the program to keep getting this great content, please donate to our Patreon or our Cash App. Both are Southside Westeros. Valo Dohares. And may the Mother bring 7 blessings to you all.